WCCW.
Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling. Now on Turnbuckle Time. Keeping you up to date on all the turns, pushes, and storylines.
Hey now, it's Turnbuckle Time! Just about a week after Diva's Last Dance, the big event that saw Tennille Taylor in her last match with the ECCW before going off to the WWE developmental camp. I'm on Vancouver Island. I'm Corey Basso. On the phone with me, all the way in... Oh man, what is it again?
I'm in Vernon! Get it right for once! I'm in Vernon, British Columbia, the Okanagan.
You hear him. That's Shane Loughran. How you doing, Shane?
Hey now, I'm doing pretty good, doing the internship thing at the radio station in Kelowna. And I want to tell you, I'm learning a lot and I'm doing a lot, but basically I'm just running and getting people coffee and basically being the station bitch. But you know what, I guess that's some kind of experience, and I'll make the most of it. I get to drive the Trues around next week, actually.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, the rock and roll band. So I'm moving up from coffee guy to chauffeur, so things are really going good for me in this radio industry.
There you go, Shane. One thing I wanted to touch on was that you participated in McHappy Days in what place? It was Rutland, wasn't it?
In Rutland, yes. I think that's Scotty Mack's old hood. Rutland in Kelowna, British Columbia. Yes, I was serving up Happy Meals, Big Macs, doing coffee, and just raising money for a good cause. It was actually it was quite fun. I never worked at McDonald's in my teenage days, so now that I'm a grown man going back, I almost wished I worked at McDonald's. It was actually a lot of fun.
You have such a good spirit, Shane, and I hope you can pass it over into Turnbuckle Time for a change.
I hope so. I don't know.
All right.
We'll see. I have a tough partner to work with, but I try to make the most of it.
Well, we'll dive right into it, and this was one I really regretted we missed, because we saw a very important part of the Supergirls division leave in Tennille Taylor, and she took on arch rival almost. They've had a little bit of a feud. She's very much been the top face. You've had Casey Spinelli, but she's got a ways to go. And you have Tennille Taylor, who's undoubtedly been the face of the division, and then you have the dastardly heel that is Nicole Matthews. And I can't help but dive into that one very first, because I thought it was a very good match. Leading up to the match, we saw definitely some heat being built at the last event at the Bridgeview Hall. Nicole Matthews coming out and cutting a vicious promo, almost taunting Tennille before their match, but Tennille got the victory over Veronica Vice nonetheless. This was an emotional encounter. Right away, one of the first spots of the match, Nicole Matthews slapping Tennille Taylor. Now, this is something almost you touch on a lot, Shane. Guys slapping guys. You don't like it. You think it's dastardly.
It's Gerv Sira. We've seen him do it all the time. And it's a kind of a disrespect right at the start of the match. You know, I'm not taking this seriously. You're not a worthy opponent of mine, so I'm going to slap you around first before I really beat you down.
Well, Nicole Matthews does the exact same thing to Tennille Taylor. How do you think it works on the flip side when it's girls? I mean, usually you see girls slapping, but that's in what I like to call real life. We're in wrestling world now, and slaps don't go. How do you think that works with Supergirls?
With Supergirls, I don't know. Is it as disrespectful for girls as it is for men? I don't know. I think it would be maybe a little bit more disrespectful. Maybe if there's a hair pull in there as well, that's definitely going over the top. But how did it go over at the Russian Community Center?
People hate Nicole Matthews. Let's not get it twisted. I mean, if there's anyone who can draw heat, it's Nicole Matthews. And she did just that. Another thing that she did to draw some great heat, which I thought was very, very vicious, actually. The posters for the event, which you like, Shane.
Beautiful. Yes, the amazing posters. I hope Nicole Matthews, you know, put one to the side and saved one for me.
I don't think she did that, dude. She posted one of them to Tennille's back as she gave her one of those vicious lower kidney kicks. And it was a big sign of disrespect. Nicole Matthews really building some heat for herself in this match.
That's a huge sign of disrespect. Whoever made that poster probably worked hours on that. And, you know, for Nicole Matthews to just disrespect the poster and kick it like that, What is she thinking?
Nicole Matthews, that's her way. That's what she does. And she was really, what I thought was very interesting was we usually see her work that back kick a lot. That's one of her signatures. But she was working the high kicks too. Very, very karate-like. And she had an advantage for most of the match, but Tennille Taylor ends up coming back, gets a flurry of her own in, huge high spot from the turnbuckle, huge drop kick from Tennille Taylor taking flight, and she puts on her patented submission. Nicole Matthews doesn't tap, and from there on out, it was pretty much a shooting gallery, Shane. It was back and forth, false finishes, and my head was spinning. This was honestly one of the best Supergirls matches I think I've ever seen, and you definitely have to get a load of this.
So we didn't see any shenanigans. We didn't see any run-ins. We didn't see any foreign objects. This was just a good old-fashioned one-on-one Supergirls matchup.
Straight up, dude. None of that outside stuff. Straight up, probably the best Supergirls match I've seen in my time watching ECCW anyways. Just a well-put-together match. A great story of good and evil, especially of Tennille on her way out. She goes to slap on her patented submission once again. Gets a little bit too confident, I think. Nicole Matthews rolls her up in the small package. 1, 2, 3. Stephen Gillis, referee, counts the three count. Tennille Taylor out of the ECCW and on a losing effort.
On a losing effort, but from what you're describing to me, Corey, sounds like a great Supergirls matchup. What I'm curious to see is, after all is said and done, Nicole Matthews, Tennille Taylor have this Supergirls match, probably Supergirls match of the year. What kind of a camaraderie is shown after this matchup? Do we have Nicole Matthews, you know, shaking the hand of Tennille Taylor, like, thanks for that great match, good luck in WWE? Like, what was the feeling after the match?
It was just what I predicted. I didn't think Nicole Matthews was willing to bend at all, and she showed her no respect, pretty much flaunted the Supergirls championship in her face. Tennille Taylor, not willing to swallow her pride, attacks Nicole Matthews, hits her with the Yakuza kick, puts her down, but Nicole Matthews leaves Supergirls champion. And with a step up on Tennille, and I thought it was a great heat builder for Nicole Matthews, but really, overall, both women had a fantastic match. Like I said, best Supergirls match I've seen. No interference. I mean, people are going to say to me, but Corey, what about the tables match at Halloween Hell? You know what? Table matches are more glamorous than people think. Just because you see somebody going through a table doesn't mean it's necessarily the best wrestling match. And this match, pound for pound, was just fantastic, and it was a well-put-together match, and I can't say enough about it. And it should have been the main, and it was just great.
I think it's also a classy move for Tennille Taylor to give Nicole Matthews a victory. You know, Nicole Matthews is going to be in ECCW, hopefully for a while. We love seeing her on every card. And, you know, this just cements her spot in ECCW a little more, makes her, you know, that much more legitimate and gives her a lot of heat going into these next couple months. So really classy move by Tennille Taylor to, you know, to go out with her shoulders on the mat. I think that's the way it should be done in pro wrestling.
You love it. You're so old school, aren't you, Shane? You love it.
I think I read a lot of Mick Foley books, and he was always big on the, you know, the old school guys, your Terry Funks and those kind of guys. Their last matches, they would always put over the new guy. And I remember one of Terry Funk's farewell matches, one of his many farewell matches, he fought Bret Hart. And, you know, nobody's going to believe, well, not in that case, nobody's going to believe that Terry Funk will be Bret Hart. But he does the good thing. He does the right thing, puts Bret Hart over. And, yeah, that's the way it should go.
I love your old school value, Shane.
It comes from all my old Columbia House WWF videos I have. I love them.
I'm posting a picture of that to the Turnbuckle Time.
Those are classic. Corey, what he's talking about, I was going through my garage the other day and found a whole bunch of these old Columbia House WWF, I guess at the time,
yes,
VHS tapes. And they're probably from the early 90s. Sweet black boxes, you know, top-notch presentation, top-notch quality, so wondering if I should see how much these things are worth. Maybe a small fortune.
We got sidetracked there. Let's get back to the card.
Let's get back to it.
We'll go back to the very beginning of the card. I wanted to jump ahead just because that match was something special. I really dug that Nicole Matthews to Tennille Taylor match. The beginning of the card, another one we were looking forward to. Me and you have never seen a kiss my ass match in public, in front of our very eyes before. We've witnessed them at WWE and F many times.
Mostly with Vince McMahon's, you know, Ripley cellulite-filled ass. Nobody wants to see that. That's terrible.
Hell no. This match was supposed to be Kenny Lush and Billy Suede taking on the Natural Selection, Azeem the Dream, and Stallion Smith
and it was ass or Suede's ass that was going to be kissed. Am I correct?
Yep. If the natural selection laws, the Natch himself, Peter Griffin, would have to kiss Billy Suede's ass. But
that is the word of the day.
That it is. Billy Suede, a no-show. Kenny Lush, forced to either go it out himself or choose a partner, and he opens up the locker room and says, boys, anyone who has the cojones to come out and be my partner, I'm waiting on you. And two guys come out, two interesting guys. You got Apollo Dean, a little bit of an enigma, looking for some direction in the ECCW, me and you have discussed many times. Mm-hmm. And then you have Jordy Taylor, the rookie. He's had a couple good matches. He's been slighted by the natural selection a few times. He's got a little bit of vengeance to get on them, doesn't he?
So I got to ask, though, when they're stepping up to volunteer to be Lush's partner, are they also volunteering to get their ass possibly kissed by the opposing team, seeing that that was Suede's ass is going to be kissed? Now he's not there. Would Jordy Taylor have to get his ass kissed?
I think so. I mean, I guess so.
But that's weird. It's like you're volunteering to have another man put his lips on your ass. That's a strange situation to be in.
These guys they had the cojones. That's what Lush wanted. He wanted some serious balls, man.
They are really desperate to get up in the ECCW ranks. They'll have men kiss their ass.
Hey,
all right.
It's better than kissing ass.
This is true.
Hey, come on now. So they go through a rigorous test of rock, paper, scissors to determine who's going to be Kenny Lush's partner, which I thought was a comical way to kind of get the crowd, you know, laughing, a little bit of the lighter side.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, this is pro wrestling. You think they could do an arm wrestle or test of strength or something? Rock, paper, scissors? I guess for a comedic effect, I could see that working.
You can open with that kind of stuff, but if you do that in the main, you'll get killed. great.
So who wins the rock, paper, scissors match? I'm dying to know.
Jordy Taylor. Come on. Everyone knows he's the best rock, paper, scissors guy in the land. Don't you know?
Did he go with rock?
I don't know what. From the camera angle I had, I didn't. It was from the balcony in the RCC.
Okay.
So I couldn't really see what it was. But whatever he did, maybe he whipped out the fourth option, the dynamite, you know, that blows up everything.
Oh, fuck off with that. I hate that kid on the playground in the, like, you're in the second grade and you're trying to play a legitimate game of rock, paper, scissors, trying to take yourself seriously, and then, oh, I got dynamite. Ah. Like,
all right.
What's wrong with your head? All right.
I thought it was dynamite aside. Jordy Taylor wins the rock, paper, scissors. Great energy to start it out. Jordy Taylor and Lush hitting a lot of high spots. Jordy Taylor even taking flight over the top ropes to land on the natural selection. Eventually, though, Kenny Lush gets the big victory over Stallion Smith, drops him on his head, fireman's carry style, just the way I like it. And just as Nat, he's on his knees, puckering up, begging Kenny Lush not to kiss Jordy Taylor's ass. It was Jordy Taylor's ass he was going to kiss.
So Jordy Taylor's whipped out the ass.
He did. He didn't back down.
Stepping up.
Didn't back down. But just as that happened, your old boy, who all of a sudden wasn't your boy, but now is your boy again, Bishop comes out, lays the big boot to them, and that's it. Natch gets bailed out by Bishop. He's back.
So basically, Jordy Taylor pulled out his ass, and he never got a kiss.
Nope. He left with a dry ass.
Oh, wow. So what happens? You know, I think insane Bill Coltrane has to come out and say, you know, look, this was the stipulation for the match. It never happened. There's got to be some sort of suspension going on here. You can't just make these stipulations and not follow through.
I think the selection and the admin are in cahoots. But one thing, we'll get to that, but one thing I wanted to touch on.
I think we'll see Jordy Taylor in the center of the ring and insane Bill Coltrane demanding that a member of the natural selection kisses his ass. You know, insane Bill Coltrane, he's been in my bad books. He's been in my good books. I think he's got to get back in my good books, and he's got to demand this happen. This can't go, you know, this has to be justified.
Well, they need to establish control. It's Bill Coltrane and it's Sweetster, and it's a tug of war, and you have the natural selection utilizing the admin, both for evil purposes, to use Michael Sweetster to book and unbook matches. But one thing I want to touch on just before we get to that is that Jordy Taylor, he worked the most part of this match, and I thought he did an excellent, excellent job. He's kind of falling into that role of the lovable underdog, which I think ECCW hasn't had in a long, long time. I mean, Phantasmo was somewhat of an underdog in the Scotty Mac rivalry just because he couldn't get over in Scotty Mac on the big matches. But a true underdog, I think, is Jordy Taylor. And with a little bit more confidence and a little bit more match experience under his belt, I think this kid is going the right places.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen him get a victory in ECCW from what I'm thinking. I don't think we've actually seen him win one. He had a great match with Artemis Spencer. I think it was back at Showcase. And at the end of the match, Artemis Spencer showed him the respect, you know, gave him the hug, gave him the slap on the back, raised his arm. So, you know, he's getting the respect of these the good guys in ECCW. And if he keeps plugging away and keeps working like he's working, maybe we could see him, compete for a junior heavyweight championship.
The crowd was behind him, man. The crowd was behind him. So I think good places for Jordy Taylor.
I think he's probably a ways away, but it's good to see, you know, fresh young blood in ECCW.
Oh, definitely.
And
definitely.
Maybe somebody to step up and mentor this kid, because, you know, he's kind of been going back and forth, and obviously he wants, you know, that mentor. He's stepping up, you know, with guys like Lush and Suede and trying to help them out. So maybe all he needs is somebody in ECCW, somebody in the locker room to, you know, take him under their wing and, build this guy up.
That's what I think too, man. He's got the look, like I said, a little bit more match experience and maybe somebody good on his shoulder, and I think that's all it takes for a guy like that. He's going places. The thing that followed was something that I'm sure you would have enjoyed, but it was kind of rudely interrupted. The Prophet's Saturday sermon comes out about to preach. Of course, he's facing later on that night Artemis Spencer in an I Repent match. Comes out and is really cut off by Scotty Mac, the admin, Dropkick Murphy, Michael Sweetster, and of course the sinister bodyguard that is V. They call out IBC, Insane Bill Coltrane, and like I said, this is a battle of control between Sweetster and Insane Bill Coltrane. Who has control in the ECCW? Because it seems like some matches Coltrane can come out and make a decision, and some matches Sweetster comes out and makes decisions. Anyways, Smack comes out and slags IBC and says he was screwed over by Jason Sullivan, that he cost him at the Chamber of Extreme, and he's put a price on Jason Sullivan's head. May 27th, anyone who takes down Jason Sullivan before their match, which is false count anywhere at the Bridgeview Hall at Redemption, which we'll talk about later, they'll get a little bit of a hefty briefcase for an award. What do you think about that, Shane?
How much are we talking here?
I don't know. Sweetster had the briefcase in his hand, so it might have been full of ho-hos, Twinkies, anything.
probably pizza pops. Monopoly money, yeah.
Pizza Pops, who knows? So, whatever they have in the briefcase, probably cool. So maybe some gift cards to...
some gift cards to Kelly O'Brien, some Pacho coupons. You know, Sweetster's sister will bedazzle your jacket for free, you know. Some real sweet prizes, I'm sure, that the administration is giving up for the Jason Sullivan bounty.
What do we call that stuff in the business? Swag.
Swag?
Swag, baby.
Swag?
Swag, baby. one thing I liked about
Scotty Mac will dye your hair if you take out Jason Sullivan.
Yeah, something like that.
Frost your tips for you, wax your back.
Scotty Mac.
I'll give you a full manicure, pedicure. You know, Scotty Mac will take care of you for the day.
Scotty Mac comes out and he slags the Canucks and gets his heat on. And,
cheap heat,
easy. Dropkick Murphy then comes up, well, was out with him already. They start their match. It's Jason Sullivan, it's Dropkick Murphy this time. And for me, as I predicted, kind of a slower match, kind of trudged along, kind of killed the energy that the opening tag match had going, that Jordy Taylor and Kenny had established. Eventually, Scotty interferes with the briefcase full of ho-hos. Jason Sullivan manages to punch it back in his face. Lands the splash elbow from the corner on Dropkick Murphy for the 1-2-3. And that's that. And it seemed, I found it funny that a big high five between Jason Sullivan and IBC on the way out, maybe IBC's kind of contracted Jason Sullivan as one of his men to bring down the administration.
Yeah, well, IBC has kind of just been a one-man show. He doesn't have the backing of all these guys that the administration have, and we've never seen any ECCW guys kind of come to IBC's aid, so maybe it's nice to have, you know, a big man like Jason Sullivan having your back when you're dealing with those worms that are the administration. Can I ask you about what happened to the Prophet, though?
He didn't do anything. He came out for his sermon, and then literally got cut off, and it just went into the other match.
And the prophet just let this happen? He just let somebody else take over his Saturday sermon?
Yes.
Wow, I wouldn't expect that from the prophet. Maybe he's getting paid off by the administration as well.
Hey, he had a match later on. He was probably trying to conserve his holy energy.
All right.
The next match. Impromptu, not on the card. Not a bad card of guys. A four-way, fatal four-way. Harv Sira, Danny Deeds, Untouchable, Jamie Diaz, and the evil, sinister, accompanied by the natural, Pete Powers.
So Pete Powers has gone from the high energy in your face to evil and sinister Pete Powers in just a few weeks?
He's gone from, come on, to just, yeah, I'm Pete Powers and I'm here to do business.
What makes him evil and sinister? If he's evil it's and just... sinister, he can't wear a headband anymore. Is he still wearing the headband?
Yeah, he's got the headband.
You can't be evil and sinister with the headband. I'm sorry, you got to drop the headband if you want to, you know, be truly, truly a bad guy.
He looked like he was down to business. He didn't utter a word. He kind of just had his, kind of did the silent treatment. The Michael Myers thing.
Do you think maybe he heard us on Turnbuckle Time make... I don't know if we were making fun of him. We were just pointing out, you know, his exuberance for, you know, his in-ring performance. Do you think, you know, maybe that bothered him? Do you think he thought maybe we were picking on him?
You had a pretty good Pete Powers impression.
I don't know. It's basically me just going...
What does that say?
I don't know, it kind of sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know that scene in, what's that movie where he's up in Mars? Total Recall,
my favorite Arnie movie.
Where he gets caught out and there's no air and his eyes start bulging out of his head. that's my Pete Powers impression.
We are going on some random side jaunts here, man. Anyways, back to the Fatal 4-Way. It's Harv Sira, it's Danny Deeds, Untouchable Jamie Diaz, and the evil, sinister, natural selectioned up Pete Powers. One thing I wanted to touch on. Harv Sira enters the RCC, and he has his usual heat, no doubt. He's definitely a heel, but there were some Bollywood chants in there.
Are you sure?
This
was at the Russian Community Center in Kitsilano.
It seemed to be over. There was a section of the crowd that was very popping for him. They were popping.
It must have been somebody in his family's birthday or something. They had the whole family there because the whole crowd's popping for Sira.
Not the whole crowd. A devout section, though, was really going for Harv.
The best part about ECCW is going and hating on the Sira boys. You know, that's what makes ECCW great.
Hey, some guys are so good at being bad that they're good at being good somehow.
If they continue to slap guys in the face, you know, spit in the crowd, and, you know, as long as we're around, I think we'll keep them down.
This match, quick one. Diaz looks to have the W against Danny Deeds, kind of a scramble match, which saw Diaz isolated for most of it, him being the only real good guy or face in the match. Eventually looking to get the fall over Deeds, but the Natch distracts him. Pete Powers slips in for the big Pete Powers-esque slam, which I forget what it was. Slams Deeds down to the mat, gets the 1-2-3. One fall does it. He's on his way to victory, and the Natch took the mic after that and kind of almost demanded Michael Sweetster and probably IBC for a rematch at Tony Baroni. So I think these guys haven't seen the last of each other, and I actually got a chance to catch up with Tony Baroni, and we'll get to that a little bit later.
So if you look at this match, though, if you had to pick a winner going in, you know, the size mismatch is, it's just not there. Pete Powers, bigger than Diaz, Deeds, Sira. He outweighs all these guys. He's a heavyweight. These other guys, I would say you have to put him in the junior heavyweight category. And basically, Pete Powers, he should win this match. He won this match. And hopefully it's a good building block for him to move on and get a little bit of momentum going into the match, if there is a match against Tony Baroni. And maybe now he actually deserves a title shot, not like before where he's coming off multiple losses and somehow he got a title shot.
Good observation, Shane. I honestly agree with that too. I wouldn't mind seeing a feud between Baroni and Powers, just as long as you can like justify it being a feud and it's actually a feud. If it's a one-off where something's built. Anyways, we'll touch on that with Baroni a little bit later. The next match after the break. Tony Barone and Gervais Sira for the strap. One guy's got the tag strap. One guy's got the unified strap. And once again, Gervais Sira drawing incredible heat. And this is what I thought was fantastic about this match and kind of what I predicted might happen. Like I said, it wasn't kind of a match written on the billboard, written in stars or anything that you're just glamoring over and be like, oh, Gervais Sira, Tony Barone, that's one you got to see. But for anyone who knows these guys and how they work, they're both very old school. They're both very technical, and they're both fantastic to watch in the ring. Gerv being the ultimate heel, him and Harv easily two of the best heels in ECCW. I'd rate them and Nicole Matthews tied for the top heel in ECCW, and they're taking on one of the most over guys in Tony Barone, and I thought it just worked magnificent.
Well, yeah, like I said on the last Turnbuckle Time, this match had everything going for it. It had a champion that had the fans on his side. You had a heel in Gervais Sira that everybody loves to hate. You know, there's no reason they shouldn't have had a great match that night. And I think that Gervais Sira is probably the unsung hero in ECCW. He can have any kind of match, and he's had these matches where, you know, you see these matches all the time in WWE and former WCW, where they have a guy, he works over one part of the guy, you know, usually works over his leg or his arm, and it's boring. But Gervais Sira, he can do those, you know, strategic matches where he works over the guy's arm, works over his leg. He makes it believable, and he, you know, he keeps that interaction up with the crowd. And whatever kind of match you throw this guy in, top notch. And yeah, I think an unsung hero in ECCW.
Well, that's exactly what I just want to touch on. Seems like we both think the same kind of thing. They're both very old school in their values, and it was very much a good guy versus bad guy match, which saw Tony Barone kind of being worked over, kind of being grinded on with this kind of slow submissions, but the crowd was behind Barone the whole way, and it was a very great story. Eventually, just as Barone gets his last build of energy, he starts to hulk up Harv Sira, who was in action earlier, we just discussed it, comes out to bail out his brother Gerv and disqualifies him from winning the unified strap. They start to lay the boost to Barone, but not before Jason Sullivan can come out and bail him out. Very, very random, Jason Sullivan coming out. First, I think to myself, Jason Sullivan's just a big, friendly guy, I guess. But I caught up with...
Well, we know that Tony Barone loves pizza, and we know that Jason Sullivan loves all kinds of food, so that's... they got something in common there.
And I actually got a chance to catch up with Tony Barone, and he actually gave me some pretty interesting facts about his relationship with Jason Sullivan. Turns out these guys know each other before this match even happened, so it's not so random as we think, and a little bit about what's happening with him and Pete Powers.
Oh, no, Pete Powers hasn't seen the last of me. You know, it's one thing to jump me from behind for a match, but laying your hands on my cousin, that's not going to fly. Pete Powers and Tony Barone are going to tangle a few more times for sure.
At the last RCC event, Divas Last Dance, he participated in a four-way match, and The Natural came out, stole the mic from IBC and said, you know what, Pete Powers wants to prove himself again. He wants another shot at Tony Barone. Are you a little bit concerned about this whole Natural selection? Are you willing to take them all down? Because you started with Bishop.
It's just Natural. Natural will do anything to get that belt off my waist, but it's not coming off. Not from him, not from one of his boys. He can scout Pete Powers. He can throw Azeem the Dream at me. He can throw Stallion Smith. It doesn't matter. He's not getting my belt.
Now, Tony, I know you do listen to the show. I don't know how often, but I'm always talking about you and how I think you need that big push. You need that blood feud, and I think some with Pete Powers would be interested. Is there anybody else you would want a shot at in the ECCW? Perhaps another go at Bishop, anything like that?
I'll take on all comers. You know me. I'm a fighting champion, Corey. I'll take on whoever wants a piece. I mean, I've wrestled them all. I'll wrestle them again. Like, I've already beaten most of the locker room anyway, so I'll take whoever wants a piece. I'll give it.
A confident champion is Tony Barone. One last question before I let you go, Tony. I know you got a show to put on tomorrow night, but at the PAC Cup, you're not defending your strap. You'll be partnering up with Jason Sullivan, of all people, the big man, and taking on the Sira boys, who gave you a little bit of a run for your money at the last RCC show.
See, you say of all people, but it's not a very well-known fact, but Jason Sullivan and I are quite good friends, actually. When I broke into the business at the beginning, he gave me a few shots, and you know, I've been working with Jason for a long time. So it's not really, it's a surprise to people who don't know, but not a surprise to people who do. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. See, there's stuff I didn't know. Good thing I asked that question. You and Jason Sullivan, very tight. Little bit of a mentor for you, Tony?
I'm not so much of a mentor, but he definitely helped me cut my teeth in the beginning, and due to his influences now, I'm also number one contender in another promotion in Oregon. And that's thanks to Jason Sullivan getting me in there. So, you know, I owe Jason, I'm loyal to the guy. He's a good friend.
So there you go, Shane. Some investigative journalism for you. We didn't even know. A tighter bond between Jason Sullivan and Tony Baroni than we thought, and they're gonna take on the Sierra boys after that attack on Tony Baroni. And what do you think about that?
Well, I think the biggest revelation there is that the relationship between Tony Baroni and Casey Spinelli, you know, that brings a whole new dynamic to the whole Pete Powers-Baroni feud. We saw Pete Powers a few weeks back, you know, when he was still trying to be, you know, Mr. Good Guy, Captain Canada, I guess, almost like a Captain America character, and him getting in the face of Casey Spinelli, and, you know, Baroni, he's not gonna put up with that, and I think that takes this whole feud in a entirely different direction and makes it that much more personal. I think that's the biggest thing I got out of that little piece with Baroni.
Like I said, I don't mind if Pete Powers and Tony Baroni go at it, but I want to see a blood feud, damn it. I think they need to establish Tony Baroni, and I think it needs to be in a good hard-fought feud, not bouncing around between random matches. I think that's a good one. Definitely a revelation. I didn't know of this relationship.
And I think if you do have a great feud between Pete Powers and Tony Baroni, and Baroni comes out on top, at least you establish Pete Powers as, you know, a top guy in ECCW, gave him the spotlight, you gave him the chance, and no matter what happens in that feud, he's going to come out with a lot of heat, and I think he would be a great matchup against some of the other heavyweights in ECCW.
No, I definitely agree. Great boost for Pete Powers, I think it would be, and definitely a great first kind of feud matchup for the new champion, Tony Baroni. Just don't want to see him bouncing around in those random matches, that's all. I want to see the guy on the main card. Kind of a filler match. I don't know if this one was really necessary. Your boy Bishop, he's back from injury. No more arm sling. Of course, the last one at the Bridgeview, he had an arm sling. He's taking on Red Money. Kind of a test match for Bishop upon his return. I will say this. Very brief match. Bishop came out on top. But the Gias, they were flowing.
The fans were behind Red Money in this one.
Definitely.
I think the fans, you know, like we said with Jordy Taylor, they like to cheer the underdog. We usually see Red Money on a, you know, a match early in the card or sometimes on the undercard. So it's kind of cool to see him get a, you know, spotlight late in a card like this. Every match we see this guy in, he always attempts the shooting star press. I don't think there's been a single match that I've watched with G-Money in it where he didn't attempt the shooting star press. Did he get a chance to hit Bishop with one of these, or could this have been the first time he was shut out?
No.
No, no, he must have been a total squash then.
It was a squash. Man, it's Red Money. It's Bishop. Nothing away from Red Money, but Bishop's a monster of a different kind.
Yeah, these guys are in two different weight classes. Bishop being your super heavyweight, Red Money, you know, he's your light heavyweight guy, likes to fly around the ring. So, you know, maybe ECCW just putting Bishop in there against a smaller guy, make sure Bishop's good to go. And you don't want one of your top guys going in there against another top guy, getting squashed on his way back, and, you know, put him back in his recovery another 2 or 3 months. So, you know, just a warm-up match, I guess, for Bishop.
Well, I think you can almost flip that, Shane, and you can almost put Red Money in the category of Jordy Taylor, a guy who's got the balls to step up and not just be somebody's partner, but to take on a monster. I mean, Red Money must have known. He's not stupid. I hope that he knows he's outweighed. He knows he's out, I don't want to say classed, but he's definitely in a whole other division. And he's taken on the big man that is Bishop. He didn't last very long, but I think a step in the right direction for Red Money to get that courage under his belt and kind of step up to the plate.
Yeah, if he can, you know, hang in the ring with Bishop, once he gets these matches with guys in his own weight class, you know, gets a little bit more even competition, he'll be just fine.
And the main, Artemis Spencer and the Prophet, former mentor. Artie was the golden boy of the Prophet. They used to be so tight. They used to be so close, Shane. And then it all came crumbling down a few months ago once Artie saw the gold. And I know you kind of agree with the Prophet that once the whole rest of the church saw the gold, they started to lose their faith.
And I guess the Divine Prophet wants to teach Artie a lesson in this one. And what was the I Repent match?
An I Repent match, which, Shane, me and you probably scratched our heads forever thinking, what could possibly be an I Repent match?
I ended up thinking that it was going to be some sort of baptism or religious ceremony going on at the end of the match if the prophet won this one.
I thought it was going to be a church house brawl.
What the hell is a church house brawl?
What does it sound like?
I don't know. People whacking each other with crosses. I don't know. I don't really want to go there, actually.
Maybe we better leave that untouched.
Yeah, I get myself in trouble here.
Okay. No, pretty much it's an I Quit match, but you have to utter the words, I repent. Ooh.
Okay.
So a little bit of a twist. We thought too hard. We overthought it. Good match. Prophet up to his usual antics, getting the crowd irate. And Artie, this guy's over, man. I was talking to you about this off mic just before we started here. Another thing I was very surprised by, we've seen Artie get more and more and more and more over. But one thing we haven't touched on yet is that it was kind of a smaller crowd there at the RCC that night. They were suffering kind of a Chamber of Extreme hangover, combined with the fact that it was also Canucks game night that night. So a little bit of a lighter crowd at the RCC, which is fine. But majority of the crowd, really over for Artemis Spencer, and namely, the girlies. He's got quite a following. They love the Artie.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. We had a Caitlin from the Evolution Street team.
Man.
At a few events. And
that was
disgusting. She was crushing hard on Artie. Like, it was getting pretty pathetic at some
point. It was. It was getting like almost like little girlish, like red-faced giggling, yeah. Jumping. It was pretty pathetic.
But you know, at events, especially at the RCC events, you know, the Prophet usually has a pretty large cheering section there too. So, you know, I was kind of expecting this one, especially at the RCC, to be 50-50 with half the fans in Artie's corner, half the fans in the Prophet's corner. And it doesn't sound like it turned out that way.
Crowd firmly behind Artie. He's over. He's over, man.
Well, I guess, you know, maybe Prophet's fans are Canucks fans too, because I know Canucks fans, they do a lot of praying, so maybe they were away at the watching the hockey game that night.
Maybe. Anyways. I Repent match. Perfect time for Artie to debut that new move, the artichoke. It came in handy later on in the match, but this match got very hardcore. We saw Artie go upside the head of the Prophet with a chair, and we actually saw Artie sunset flipped off the turnbuckle through a table by the Prophet. And quite a way to treat your golden boy that you brought up. And one spot that was really funny in the match was Artemis Spencer is kind of known as a... He's obviously the junior heavyweight champion. Known a little bit of a high flyer, a little bit of a wiry, whippy wrestler. He was actually climbing the balcony from the lower level. He actually managed to get his hands up on the top rail of the balcony and was scaling it almost to get away from the Prophet. And it was very Spider Monkey-esque.
Well, how the hell did the balcony is a good 10 feet, 12 feet up there?
Like I said, I don't know.
Did he leap up there? Did he get a fan to give him the old boost like you're jumping a fence? Or
I don't know. Like, the camera angle I had didn't really let me see how he got up, but he got up there and he was scaling it. And it was, like I said, Spider Monkey-esque. That Artie, man, what can't he do? He climbs walls,
So what does he do when he climbs up to the balcony at the RCC? Is he going to do a hurricanrana? Is he just checking out, you know, the scenery up there? What's his plan once he gets up there?
Maybe just showing his climbing prowess. manages to go through a table. Big ugly scene on the outside. He manages to land his trademark moonsault splash on the outside from the top turnbuckle. But like I said, eventually the artichoke comes into effect. Prophet trying the elbow from the top ropes, and Artie catches him mid-leap, sinks in the artichoke, and makes Prophet say, I repent.
Yeah, what a great way to put over a new submission maneuver than to have it showcased in an I Repent match.
I agree.
You know, somebody in ECCW was thinking long and hard about this one, and definitely putting over Artemis Spencer and putting over his new submission move. I kind of like it. It was kind of sneaky way, and it's, without trying too hard or without pushing the move too much, it's a household name just like that.
Artichoke, I like it, eh? It'll easily be on our list for best finisher of the year. Easily.
No, I think that was very well done by ECCW, and just looks like really going to be pushing Artie again coming up with the Pat Cup here.
Now, we will announce the Pat Cup bracket. We'll do that kind of later on in our news and notes section, but just going to preview briefly the next event at the Bridgeview Hall. It is May 27th. It is Redemption. Briefly of the card, the Divine Prophet coming off that I Repent match loss. He'll take on Jaime Diaz. I don't think these guys have met in a long time, so I don't know if there's any real history to recap there, but that'll no doubt be an interesting match. Rick, not a member of the church, which I knew I had to touch on last time. We mentioned a couple of the last shows that he actually was a member of the church. He's not. Just happened to
what? Sorry, what? Did you say Rick is not a member of the church?
That's right, Shane. I had to consult ECCW management for it. In fact, I think they sent me a few text messages. And Rick is not a member of the church. In fact, he was just participating in the Saturday Sermon, which from what I understand is almost like a talk show for heels. So he comes out, cuts his promo, and me and you definitely were sold that he was in the church, but he's not. He's not.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing. We had a good group of friends there, a good group of evolutionaries from the radio station there, and a lot of Divine Prophet fans, and I know everybody was really eating up that promo that Rick did, and everybody was really excited and really stoked that, sweet, Rick is now a member of the church, he's going to be a little more conservative, he's a bad guy, you know, he's with the Prophet, both of these guys are great on the mic, like, this is something we can really build on, and this is something we're going to want to come back and see every week, so... No, that's kind of a little bit of a disappointment to hear that Rick's not an official member of the church.
I was kind of disappointed, too. But he's not. But at least he's back to his old ways, and he's taking on Sexy Plexi, which I think, again, will be another good tale of good versus evil. And both very kind of traditional wrestlers. While Rick isn't the kind of whippy and Sexy Plexi wrestler that Plexus is, I think it'll be a good encounter.
Yeah, and Plexus is coming off in a fantastic match. Last time we saw him, he was in a Pat Cup qualifier, I believe, against Scotty Mack. And if my memory serves me correctly, didn't Plexus end up getting a three count somewhere on Scotty Mack there, mm-hmm. only to get the decision reversed?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Your memory serves you correct.
not so bad, the old memory, but Plexus, I hope he can come off. That was one of the best matches I've seen him in. He had the crowd behind him, and everybody, you know, he definitely deserves a little bit of redemption for getting screwed over in that Pac Cup qualifier.
The next match, the Bollywood Lions. They're back again. They haven't defended their belts for a little while. They'll take on two newcomers that me and you have never seen. I believe one of them was in the ECCW before our time. Brady Roberts and Kamikaze.
Brady Roberts and Kamikaze. Seems like an unlikely duo. Brady Roberts, I kind of picture that, you know, clean cut, you know, white boy neighbor look, and then Kamikaze, I think, is some crazy lunatic from overseas. And it just doesn't seem like it's going to work out, but that's just the first thing that pops into my twisted mind when you say those names.
And Brady Roberts is Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, basically, yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Like old classic 50 TV show style character where like the wife and the husband sleep in different beds. Like a super clean-cut conservative guy.
Oh, gotcha. Well, we'll see how he pans out if that's Arizona. He's taking on two of the dirtiest players in the game, the Bollywood Lions. One thing I wanted to touch on, and this is almost in boils down to what I say about Tony Baroni. I think the Bollywood Lions deserve a really good feud. I think these guys are capable of putting on multiple shows with multiple guys and establishing a really good feud. They're very over his heels that I think if you were to put them against some guys like Kenny Lush and Billy Suede, who are just so over as faces, I think it would just work wonders. And I think a blood feud like that would help to really reinvigorate the tag team division, which until we saw the Bollywood Lions take up the titles, was kind of bouncing back and forth and didn't really have any solidity, if that's a word.
Well, I think the Bollywood Lions are really, you know, holding that division up. And Gerv and Harv, like we said with Gerv especially, this guy, he's a great singles wrestler. He could be one of the top guys in single competition. But the tag team division needs the Bollywood Lions right now. They need that spotlight. And it's great to have a heel team with a belt right now. You have Lush and Suede. They're coming out at the start of events, you know, getting the crowds ready. And outside of those two guys, I guess you got Deeds and Cremator. We've seen them on and off. It seems like they haven't been a real consistent team. And then who else do we have in that division right now?
We had Jaime Diaz and Chuck Awesome Sauce until Awesome Sauce
awesome
went completely
sauce
MIA.
Missing, yes.
He's completely gone. Whatever happened to him? We have Stallion Smith and Azeem.
I think that team has potential, but right now they're still kind of building that chemistry, and I think that team, you know, maybe might be a threat in the future, but until Azeem's head shrinks a little bit, you know, and actually starts to look at Stellan Smith as an equal, I still think he kind of thinks he's better than him, so you can't have that in a good tag team. Those guys are a ways away, so I think you really got the Lions and Lush and Suede as the only real top teams in the tag team division right now.
We'll see what Brady Roberts and Kamikaze bring to the table. Hopefully a good challenge for the Lions.
Another team that I actually like is Azul Angel and Aaron Bolo. I know for some reason you have...
Are we really going into this again?
No, we're not. We're not going into it because Aaron Bolo is great, and I'd love to see those two guys a little bit more in the tag team division, but, you know, these guys are busy. They're down fighting in Tacoma and all sorts of Washington and Portland. I don't know where the hell they are fighting, somewhere down in the States, but... Busy guys, nonetheless, but I'd like to see them in ECW a little bit more fighting for those tag team titles.
Next match. The Hardcore Championship Thumbtack match. This one is well overdue. Moondog Manson came out at the last Bridgeview Hall event demanding his thumbtack match against Ravenous Randy, who stole Moondog Manson's title, some might say. Moondog Manson is the king of hardcore, and they'll settle it at the Bridgeview Hall with a thumbtacks match.
I've kind of missed out on this entire feud. I've missed every event where these guys have gone at it. And Ravenous Randy, one of my favorite guys in ECW. How do you not like him? He comes into the Now You're a Man music. He's got the wicked tights at Halloween Hell. He had the Misfits face paint, which I think he should wear every event. It's just so badass. It's so intimidating. And I don't know. He doesn't really strike me as a hardcore wrestler. So... I don't know. I think it's kind of strange he's wrestling for the hardcore title these days. But Moondog Manson, he's a scary dude. I got to say Moondog Manson takes this one.
I think so, too. But once again, a match I think I'm going to enjoy because I just like both guys. Moondog Manson, while being a hardcore guy, is a funny guy. I just like him. He's almost like
he's,
a hardcore...
But he's a funny guy.
He's like a big, big hardcore teddy bear.
What is funny about Moondog Manson?
His promos are hilarious, man. The guy is just... I eat up his promos. I just think... I don't think we've ever seen a match where he hasn't bled. And I think this
and
is just going
to
be great. It's not funny, but it's just... It's
well,
part,
I just
it's part of
when
his...
We were, I just trying to think of when we were reintroduced to Moondog Manson in ECCW, where he was at the RCC drinking alcohol in the audience.
Oh, whatever.
Getting tossed out of the RCC. There's nothing funny about that. This guy isn't humorous. He's a hardcore mother-father.
Whatever.
You think blood and substance abuse is funny, Corey? I don't know. You have a problem.
Do you not watch wrestling? Just curious. Here's a guy we've never seen, actually. Ice, formerly of pop culture, back when it was all popular to be in pop culture. He takes on Artie, Artemis Spencer. For the NWA Canadian Junior Heavyweight Championship. We haven't seen Ice in a while. I've seen a few of his matches on YouTube. The guy's capable of downright bloodbaths, but I haven't seen anything from the kind of normal, just technical wrestling side of him. So I think this will be interesting. And
Hasn't Ice come back for a match within the last year? I thought I remember seeing him on a card somewhere.
He did, but we missed it. He was facing Kyle O'Reilly,
I
think.
I remember I did see him on a card somewhere.
He was facing Kyle O'Reilly, I think, but...
See there was a message from Ice on the ECCW webpage, I don't know if you read that or not, Corey.
I didn't. I missed it. What did it say?
He basically was just saying Surrey's a shithole. Toronto's way better. The women are ugly. The neighborhood sucks. People are terrible. Basically, you know, kissing Azeem the Dream's ass. Called Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle overrated. Basically, this guy sounds just like a prick. Like, he sounds like an asshole.
Well, he's going up against a guy who's very over, so hopefully he can stand up to Artie technically, then they'll have a good match and some good heat and some good backing for Artie. We'll see how it goes. We can't really judge him until we see him in the ring. I mean, we'd love to, but we can't. So
Well, from his words on ECCW.com, he just sounds like a pompous ass. He doesn't seem to be humble at all. You know, he's coming back. ECCW's giving him a shot. No thanks to ECCW. No thanks to anybody. It was all about him. And we'll see what kind of reception he gets at the Bridgeview Hall. I'm hoping they boo him out of the arena, so to speak.
Make him humble. And the previously announced match, if it gets to this event, Falls Count Anywhere, Scotty Mac and Jason Sullivan. But we know that that price has been put on Sully's head. 100 Twinkies for whoever can take down the big man. Do you think he'll make it to the event?
Oh, I don't know. It will definitely take a big man to step up and try to take out Jason Sullivan. It's not like you're just going to jump this guy and he's going to be easy to take out, no matter where you are. If you had Five Guys Burgers, Burger Baron, Wendy's, McDonald's, wherever you find Jason Sullivan, you know, he's going to fight back. And you're taking a big risk, you know. There might be a little bit reward at the end of it, but Jason Sullivan can just turn around and whoop your ass. So it'll be interesting to see who goes for this bounty. And it might be somebody that's looking to get into the administration. We've seen Volt Vegas. Is he still going by that?
Wasn't it Bubba Sparks last time you addressed him?
Bubba Sparks. Whatever they're calling him these days. You know, we saw him try to get into the administration a while back, and he had a very disappointing match when he tried to get into the administration. So maybe he'll try to redeem himself, and maybe he'll go after the old Jason Sullivan. Be interesting to see, and be interesting to see if there's a spot in the administration for whoever is able to take down Jason Sullivan.
Definitely. Some other names that were with the administration were Red Money and Apollo Dean looking for a spot, came on, interfered on behalf of the administration at Chamber of Extreme, but that's beside the point.
So they could team up, because one of those guys are not taking out Jason Sullivan. Maybe those guys could team up, and then they could split the gift cards and the hair dyeing.
Perhaps. Maybe.
Work.
Just before we wrap up kind of our little news and notes section, do you have anything before I get into my news and notes?
Well, I do know that the lovely Casey Spinelli and I believe Tennille Taylor are on the reality show. I think it's called, World of Hurt?
I think that's it. The one with Lance Storm, yeah?
Yeah, the World of Hurt with Lance Storm's wrestling school, and that's on the Cave Network. So check your local listings for that one. And actually heard Lance on another wrestling show, so when you're not listening to Turnbuckle Time, I suggest you check out Live Audio Wrestling. It's on a Sirius 98 on Sunday nights, but they actually changed the channel lineup. It's like 1:30-something. But Lance Storm was on there saying that a bunch of his graduates from the school have went on to get WWE contracts, and I believe Tennille Taylor is one of those, so have to check out the show to see who the other graduates are.
Definitely something to check out. Another thing you might want to check out too, which also involves Casey Spinelli, and I think little snippets of Tennille Taylor if you look hard enough. This Wrestling Life, I think airing for one of the last times maybe on Super Channel there, done by Stephen Gillis, referee, and video extraordinaire.
So make sure you set your PVR to record that one, because yeah, like you said, could be one of the last times it's on Super Channel. So it's one of those movies you'd like to watch, you know, two or three times on a rainy day when you need your ECCW fix.
That's it. Do you have anything else, Jen?
That's it. You can follow me at TheShartCast on Twitter.
There you go. I just want to briefly, this is my news and notes. It was passed down the Pat Cup results. Insane Bill Coltrane did pass them down at the event, and I will repeat them here for you. And we can do a little bit of a prediction session, why don't we? The bracket, the first round, elimination. El Phantasmo taking on the newcomer from out of territory, Azul Angel.
I'm going to say LP.
Nicole Matthews.
Yes, Nicole Matthews versus...
I'm going for some drama here. Billy Suede.
Suede. All right, as tough as the chick Nicole Matthews is, you know, she's one bad bitch, but I got to give it to Billy Suede here, so it's going to be Suede.
Artemis Spencer versus Nick Price.
Price. Haven't seen a lot of Price recently. You know, I think he's still getting used to the singles action. He's been a tag team guy for a long time. Artemis Spencer, he's got a lot of experience in the Pac Cup. He's a defending champion. You got to give it to Artemis Spencer.
I don't think anybody rocks a sleeveless hoodie quite like Nick Price, though. That aside, Scotty Mac and Mr. Ring of Honor, Kyle O'Reilly, former Pac Cup champions. They're going to clash in the first round. That should be a goodie.
I'm going to go with Kyle O'Reilly on this one.
Really? That's a bold statement.
Well, come on, he's in Ring of Honor. You know, he's a big shot. He's a big guy, and he gets what he deserves, and he He was one of the top guys in ECCW. Just because we haven't seen him in a while, you know, we can't forget how talented this guy is. And Scotty Mack, he's a great wrestler, but he's been put through the ringer here the last few months. He's been in Three Stages of Hell matches. He's been in cage matches, extreme matches. He's done it all. You know, it's got a fatigue old Scotty Mack, so I'm going to put Kyle O'Reilly over in this one.
Well, that's interesting. Who do you think is going to win it all?
My bracket here, I have LP versus Suede and Artemis versus Kyle O'Reilly. I'm going to say Artemis takes Kyle O'Reilly, and then I'm going to say LP takes Billy Suede, which gives us a rematch of last year's semifinal, I think, our Turnbuckle Time match of the year. El Phantasmo versus Artemis Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go, this is a toss-up. This could go either way. It's really hard to pick, but I'm going to pick Artemis Spencer to retain the Pack Cup Championship.
I think LP goes over Azul, and I think Matthews goes over Suede.
Okay, so that's a Matthews LP possibly in the semis.
Price goes over Artie, and I think O'Reilly goes over Smack.
So you're picking O'Reilly too?
Over Smack, yes.
All right, so then you have Mac versus Price and LP versus Matthews.
I think LP goes over Matthews. I think Price goes over O'Reilly.
LP versus Price is the final.
And I think Price takes it all.
Nick Price out of nowhere to take the Pack Cup Championship.
Well, if you look at it, everyone has won it once, except for Azul Angel, who's a guy out of territory, Nicole Matthews, who's a girl.
She's a woman. She's definitely at a disadvantage. This is true, yes.
And Nick Price. He needs a new direction. He needs to get established himself in singles wrestling. We haven't seen him for a while. I think this may be Nick Price's coming out party.
I don't know.
Call me crazy.
It's just like in the NHL playoffs. You know, they say the teams, you got to lose in the playoffs before you can win in the playoffs. You know, San Jose has to lose in the playoffs. Canucks have to lose in the playoffs before they win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, 17 years in a row.
Yeah, but Price, you know, maybe I can't be sure, but I'm thinking this is probably his first taste of the Pack Cup, being one of the top contenders, and maybe he might make it past the first round, but Pat getting past the second round, it's going to be tough competition. And I think, you know, the same motto rings true for professional wrestling and ECCW. You got to lose before you can win in this, and I just don't think that the Price just has enough experience to go all the way in this one. And I think it will be a repeat winner.
Wow.
We'll agree to disagree.
Again, we will. That's what's lovely about wrestling. We'll say it again. This is just our opinion, so everyone else has their own opinion. I'm sure there's people who are listening to this, if people are in fact listening, and I'm not just clicking on my thing a bunch of times. Everyone has a different opinion. I'm sure there's people on the other end that think that Corey guy's an idiot, or that Shane guy's a bonehead, but we're just stating our opinion. That's what it is. It's wrestling, man.
That's the cool thing about the Pack Cup, too, because you can look and we could go over these matches 100 different times and get 100 different scenarios and 100 different matches. So the Pack Cup, it's going to be unexpected. You don't know what's going to happen. That's, you know, part of the fun of the event.
And I think we've pretty much run the card for quite a few events now. you can catch Shane on Twitter, at the SharkCast. I'm at CD Basso. You can follow at Turnbuckle Time, which is our one for the show here. You can follow at ECCW. Of course, you can follow us all on Facebook as well. The ECCW has a Facebook fan page. And some of the wrestlers have Facebook fan pages too, so you can check them out. Shane, what are we playing out to?
We are playing out to LL Cool J.
Is it new?
No, it's old as the hills.
Who's the hills? As in like Hank Hill? Peggy Hill?
Sure, it's old as Hank Hill. That was just a suggestion because you always put me on the spot. But if you want to keep it a wrestling theme, we could go for something else.
I'm rolling with LL Cool J. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, nice.
All right, buddy. Thanks for joining me again, and hopefully we can touch base after Redemption. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
Thank you, man.
We're signing off. It's Corey Basso and Shane Lochran. It's Turnbuckle Time.
I'm the best when it comes to making love all night. Throw your butterscotch body beneath the red light. Blaze it up, girl. I'ma lace it real tight. Go deep till the full moon turn to sunlight. Till the darkness is gone, love remains strong like the bond between mother and child. You're so warm to the touch. Passionate interludes as such when you're gone. Your body's what I yearn to clutch. Just imagine ecstasy floating in a cloud. Animal attraction burning through the crowd. Heaven on earth, paradise for a price. It's cool though, I'll pay it for the rest of my life. You know why? In your erogenous zones, like a black tiger caged up till you come home. Lovely, you make a man swoon like a boy. The love is so soft, but gets hard to enjoy. Cause the mind flies, and sometimes the sex lies. Smooth little girls fall in love with rough guys. But you could chop a big heart down to pipe size. I guess that's what it sounds like when a dove cries. The whole world is trapped up in a maze. But you say this real good loving for rainy days. The Lord works in mysterious ways. He must have put you on this earth for all men to praise. Say what?